You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Although Amy Butcher teaches creative writing at Ohio Wesleyan University, she often spends her summers teaching students at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and her experiences in Alaska have found a way into her work. So here to talk about her new book, Mother Trucker, is Amy Butcher. Hello, Amy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being here. Before we get into talking about the book, tell me about yourself. How did you become a writer?
Sure. I've known that I wanted to write ever since I was a child. And it was through, I think, both my undergraduate and then my graduate experience in writing programs that really showed me, I think, the power of harnessing true narratives in particular. And that's a gift that I get to share not only with my students here in Ohio, but every summer with middle school and high school youth in Sitka, Alaska. Mm.
Well, just the name of your new book catches the ear, Mother Trucker. It's a real life story about a female truck driver. But it wasn't the story you set out to write. What had you intended to do, and how did that change?
Sure, absolutely. This book began largely about my fascination with Alaskan haul road trucker Joy Ruth Wiebe, who was the only female ice road trucker on the James W. Dalton Highway, hauling anything from structural materials and infrastructure materials to piping and other supplies. I found Joy on Instagram. She was something of an Instagram celebrity with over 11,000 followers, which at the time seemed pretty fantastic. Yeah. And I was captivated by her world and this idea that she worked this male-dominated industry and this really harsh and remote landscape. And that was deeply attractive to me. So I initially intended to have the book be really exclusively a profile of Joy and the work that she did in rural and northern Alaska. But ultimately, the book also widens and broadens to become a conversation about the epidemic of intimate partner violence and the way in which so much of what made Joy strong, and certainly my own story as well in wanting to travel and meet Joy, was largely had to do with what we experienced in our private lives, which is to say both Joy and I, through our conversations, came to realize that we both had experience with violent men and with abusive men. And that's something that the book explores as well.
Hmm. Well, not to give away too much, but this is a story that, as you already sort of touched on, is both joyful and sad at the same time. Is it nonfiction? Is it fiction? What is like the story about?
Yeah, it's nonfiction. That's a great question. It really is sort of a combination of memoir in terms of my own story, but also sort of literary journalism in the way in which it explores who Joy is and profiles her. But there's also elements, I think, of cultural criticism, of travel writing. And I was certainly very interested, of course, too, in northern Alaska, in the Dalton Highway, in the oil fields of Prudhoe Bay, and the industrial complex of Dead Horse. So the book kind of juggles a lot of different balls, if you will, but this is exclusively nonfiction. So it's a true story that I've worked very hard to bring to life on the page.
Would you like to read us an excerpt?
I would love to.
And Amy, sorry, I know we talked about this before we went live, but you could read the longer version if you'd like.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for that. This comes from really about the middle of the book, where for the first time, Joy and I are driving in her truck on the Dalton Highway. And for the first time, I'm beginning to talk openly about perhaps what brought me to Alaska, the impetus for my trip. That spring, as the daffodils pushed up and the tulips birthed bright color, I began drinking heavily, and Dave began drinking heavily, and all of the time spent between us became a series of small combustions, like kerosene, like fire. I was sad all the time, I told Joy. I often groveled. I didn't recognize the woman that I had become. I'd compromised myself out of my beliefs. I told her about Dave and our increasingly hostile relationship. The worst of his rage, of course, but also the way he could be so gentle. How it seemed, I told her then, that he took pleasure in taking care of me after making me feel small. And then he leaves, I said. And then especially, I turn into someone that I don't know. I plead into the phone. I beg him to come back. It was as if I was so empty, I told her, so hollowed out that I didn't even care which version of him greeted me upon his return. Half the time he terrifies me, and the other half, I swear, it's like he's the only person in the world who matters. Isn't that insane? It wasn't, she said, insane. She told me of a study in which scientists determined that domestic abuse lights up the same neurotransmitters as gambling. I felt addicted to pulling levers. I wanted triple cherries. Everything I did became a means of acquiring the kind of kindness and generosity that Dave routinely afforded others, of trying to win one kind of love, of trying to avoid the others. I thought that this is what it meant to love, to hurt and still to love, and to fear and to love then too. Think of it like a casino, she told me. You walk in there knowing you're going to lose, but there's this small chance that you might win, go home big, receive all you've ever wanted, and so it keeps you coming back. It's what kept me coming back. This, the very real, very tricky problem of loving a man who is cruel to you, you begin to think that the intensity of their outbursts indicates the intensity of their passion, that there is never tenderness without cruelty, and that cruelty, in fact, is not a byproduct, but a symptom of their love. We're going to get you out of there, she told me, by which she meant get you out. I'll stop there.
Wow, that was not exactly what I expected, but I really enjoyed hearing it. I think a lot of people can relate to those mixed feelings about a partner in a relationship like that. How did writing this book, how did writing this book, completing the book, change you or inspire you?
Sure. I mean, so I think the book in many ways couldn't be more timely. When I started this book, all I knew was that largely I wanted to escape my life here in Ohio for reasons that I think this passage mentions. And I saw and Joy, this woman who demonstrated herself both online and it seemed in the real world to be fiercely strong and independent and resilient. And I thought that I had something that I might learn from her. And I wasn't wrong, but I also would say that in the process of writing this book, certainly in discovering Joy's own experience, I certainly did research indicating how prevalent domestic violence is and how frequently it's not, again, something that we're very comfortable talking about. But I think, again, in the same way that I certainly had this public-facing persona and was dealing with something very tricky and difficult in my own life at home, that was Joy's story too. And for her, it was deeply important that if I was going to write a profile of who she was, which is to say the strong woman working this male-dominated industry in arguably one of the toughest landscapes in the world, she also wanted the reasons that she pursued this work, which is to say that it provided her a steady salary and financial independence if she had to leave. And so profiling the full extent of Joy was deeply important to me, and also talking about the prevalence of intimate partner violence as well.
Mm. You spent some time with her out on the road, right? What was that experience
like? I did, absolutely.
Yeah, what was that experience like for you?
It was wild. I mean, the book chronicles our journey together. I essentially, after months of following Joy online, I called her and said, this is going to sound crazy. I'm an Ohio professor and writer, and I would really love to fly up to Alaska and drive the Dalton Highway with you in your truck. And I expected, no, absolutely not. I'm a stranger. But, Joy really laughed and said, sure. And within 2 weeks, I was standing in the Spring Hill Suites in downtown Fairbanks, and she was picking me up. And so, I think a lot of what this book is about is the friendships that women in particular forge with each other. I think it's about sort of the secrets that so many of us keep, even from those closest to us. And I think largely it's a testament to the power of female friendship. As many in Alaska might know, Joy was killed very abruptly on that highway 3 months after we did our trip together. And, I had intended to come back a month later and travel that road with her in September, October of 2018. And she was killed instantly when her truck overturned in August of 2018. Oh. So in many ways, the book is sort of a tribute to her, but also to what I think is possible between two women as well.
Wow. I had read that she passed away and how she died. I'm going back to the earlier part of your answer there. I wonder if she even really thought that you meant it when you said you were going to come up to Alaska. A lot of people say they're going to come up and visit me. They never do. So I wonder if she said, yeah, meaning, yeah, right.
Maybe. I think you're absolutely right. But I also, the people that I've met since Joy passed, and actually the people who have read the book and written me who knew Joy, really say that speaks to her character. She was someone who was wildly open to getting to know and meeting other people on their level. And I also think it speaks to, in some way, never tell a writer yes unless you mean it, because I think writers are hungry for stories. And I know I was certainly very hungry to meet Joy and write about her.
How did her death affect you?
it was really difficult. You know, as I mentioned, I had done the trip with her in April of 2018. And because, you know, wanting to be thorough as a writer, I intended to come back up in September, October and do the trip again. We spent that time in April, obviously sharing the inner space of a truck cab for 15 hours up the Dalton Highway, you know, overnight, 15 hours back, and then some time in Fairbanks. So it sounds very strange, but we got very close. I think there's a level of comfort that you reach when you're in a car or in a vehicle with someone for that long. And so it was really devastating personally. It was also very tricky in terms of the book because I would never want this book to be about her death. She worked a highway that has been, you know, called the loneliest road, the most isolated road, and the most dangerous road in America. And that's part of what attracted me to Joy. But I also think, you know, she's so much more than her death. And in many ways, I think her death speaks to the broader epidemic that, you know, so many women feel that they have to make decisions based on their security and what will allow them to prosper and to thrive, especially in situations like the one that Joy experienced throughout her life, which was marred by domestic violence and abuse.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Amy Butcher. She's the author of the book Mother Trucker. Amy, who are some authors that you admire, that inspire you, that you maybe influenced you to write this?
Wow, that's a beautiful question. I've been reading a lot of Melissa Phoebos. She has a really wonderful new collection of essays out called Girlhood. I also love the writer T. Kara Madden, who has a beautiful memoir in sort of fragment forms called Long Live the Tribe of Fatherless Girls. I'm really taken by the essay form, which is a form of creative nonfiction. So there's another author, Lacey M. Johnson, who has a collection called The Reckoning. And all of those works were hugely influential to me as I worked on this project.
Well, I'll have to take those as recommendations. I haven't read any of them. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Where can we get a copy of your book? Is it available wherever books are sold?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, thank you, Shelley. It's certainly available at independent bookstores, and it's so important to support those. But you can also find it, of course, online, Amazon, as well as other vendors. And it came out 2 weeks ago, so it's out and available.
Congratulations. How did you celebrate?
Gosh, how did I celebrate? You know, I'm a professor, so it was a long day of teaching. It was a Monday. It was like most other Mondays. But I did have, I heard from some wonderful friends throughout Alaska, primarily friends rooted in Sitka, and that was really lovely as well.
Oh, that's great. Well, it was really nice chatting with you, Amy. I'm glad you reached out to come on the show and talk about the book Mother Trucker. It sounds like a fantastic read.
Thank you so much, Shelley. I so appreciate your time. Thanks.
Take care.